D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
This week is Independence Day, but those liberties secured by the blood of patriots are at risk in this year of crisis.
We might ask ourselves the question, is this country worth fighting for?
We'll investigate a movement to remake America by eroding the foundations of our freedom.
Any ideology or philosophy, especially the theology of Christianity that gives people hope, is diametrically opposed to an atheistic or an agnostic Marxist worldview.
Find out what steps will preserve our freedom today on Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. This weekend, we celebrate America's birthday. But what will future Independence Day celebrations look like? In this election year, our nation is under attack from within, and 2020 may prove to be the decisive point in the battle between those who hold to the founders' notion of ordered liberty in a free America and those who want to subvert self-governance and replace it with radical leftism. Throughout July, we will be previewing our upcoming special airing later this month, Defend America 2020. As we begin, our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb begins by examining the left's attack on God.
We must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us.
When the first English settlers came to this continent, they came here to be the model, to be the example, to be the shining city on a hill. And so American exceptionalism is as religious and as American as apple pie.
The city on a hill reference that comes from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount was a vision for what America could become.
We don't have a king as a sovereign. We, the people, are the sovereign. Our rights come from God, our Creator. And therefore, we, the people, retain all of our rights.
America's foundation was from the start intended to be a biblical vision of society and life. Most of our founding fathers were not themselves theologians, but they thought from a Christian worldview.
America was founded by people seeking religious freedom, but the atheist philosophy of Karl Marx has become quite popular today among millions of Americans.
Karl Marx himself identified Christianity as one of the chief impediments to the establishment of globalized workers of the world uniting. Christianity has been consistently identified as one of those threats. And the reason is, if you're advancing a philosophy that requires people to be perpetually and irrepressibly oppressed and victimized, then a message that says, no matter where you come from, there's hope in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The core of Christianity is hope. Any ideology or philosophy, especially the theology of Christianity that gives people hope, is diametrically opposed to an atheistic or an agnostic Marxist worldview.
There's been a multi-pronged attack on God in America from within America, primarily by cultural Marxists. Perhaps the biggest engine of change in America occurred in the schools. In the 1930s, Columbia professor and committed skeptic John Dewey set America's schools on a trajectory of unbelief.
John Dewey basically believed that we were empty vessels. The whole idea of a blank slate, that human beings are not born with any type of nature, certainly not the image of God. They hated that idea, completely dispensed with it. And so where does human nature come from then? So they believe that human nature is inculcated in children by their parents. And so their idea is we circumvent the parents. We let the state raise the children and teach the children because they're a blank slate. And they will become the citizens that we create them to be. So government becomes, for the progressive, for the true progressive, becomes the laboratory that inculcates children with the nature that they ought to have. So institutions within society create individuals.
But Ben Shapiro says that 4 years at an American university is really a four-year attack on America and God. And that's the truth. Okay, so in the classroom, if you dare express your Christianity, you better be pretty confident and have a pretty strong backbone, because you will be shouted down, if not failed.
Beginning in the mid-20th century, the Supreme Court contributed to the problem in a significant way through a series of school prayer type cases, effectively banning God from the schools. Historically, the First Amendment meant no national denomination, no Church of America like the Church of England. But the High Court reinterpreted the First Amendment to mean strict separation of church and state.
It's one thing to say the government shouldn't be engaging in religious expression, but it's certainly another to say that Americans need to have a public square that has been washed free of any taint of religion. That's not what our understanding of religious freedom has been historically, and I think it's not what it should be.
America's churches were once viewed as oases of good for society. But in the recent coronavirus pandemic, we've seen a bias against churches, at least by some.
I think it just shows how unreasonable, how irrational, how discriminatory, when people were allowed to go to the liquor store, to, you know, a dispensary for marijuana, they're allowed to go to the grocery store, but they're not allowed to go, even in their cars, to a church service. So it became readily apparent that what was happening was governors, mayors, county commissioners clearly had a disrespect for not only religious freedom, but for churches in particular.
When you look at the debate that's going with COVID, we're saying, what are essential services? Well, in the minds of a lot of governors, churches are not essential.
I mean, all people have to do is look at them saying, the experts even saying, well, you can't sing at church, but oh yeah, we're the protest? We're okay with that because that's important. And which belies an understanding that they have, that the church is not important, that religious freedom is not important.
I think the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals said it really well. They overturned what the governor of Kentucky was doing, and that was the mayor of Louisville and all those other things that were going. And they said, we're not going to let the Bill of Rights sleep during this pandemic. And that's exactly right, because we are a nation of laws, not of men.
In Chicago, you had cars actually towed because they thought they were going to the church. Some of those are just even neighborhood cars.
It was to a church of really refugees who had left communist nations. And here they are in America being treated exactly the way they were under communist governments. It is crazy to see what happened.
The attack on God in modern America has special meaning to those who grew up in atheist countries, such as Harry Mehet, who today fights for Christian liberties through Liberty Council.
In modern America today, I see some of the same things that I saw growing up as a child in communist Romania beginning to happen here in the land of the free. Maybe not to the same extent, not yet, but I see that we as a society and a culture are becoming very intolerant of genuine faith in the marketplace and especially in the public schools. The communists required us to go to school on Sunday. We missed schools on Sunday, we went to church, but there was a price to pay for that, because on Monday when we would come back, we would have these school-wide assemblies, and our principal would invite all of the kids that had missed school the day before to step out into the front of the school-wide assembly and would then proceed to berate us and belittle us and insult us, and to invite our friends and colleagues to do the same thing. This was a weekly occurrence. This was not a isolated event or incident. This was a weekly occurrence designed to intimidate and to harass followers of Jesus Christ.
I'm sure you're familiar with the book that Cleon Skousen wrote, was published in 1958 called The Naked Communist. That book had near its appendix 45 current communist goals. And so this is back, you know, late 1950s. Those goals were read into the congressional record in 1963. And if you read through those goals, much of them have been accomplished. And one was to take over a political party.
In his 1958 book, Skousen lists some of the goals of the communists regarding religion, like infiltrating the churches and replacing the Bible with social religion, or eliminating prayer at school.
If we look at America in 1963, when they were read into the record, and look at America today, what do we see? And I think we see the implementation of those communist goals. And yes, it's cultural Marxism, and it's all about destroying our society.
There's not a nation in history that has survived forever. It has to be decided from generation to generation to generation. So we were started very much on a God basis. There were flawed people. They made mistakes, no question about it. But their heart was to pursue God and His principles. And if we pursue that ourselves, we'll be a safe nation. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble.
It should perhaps not surprise us that disregard for God and disregard for America's foundations go hand in hand. There is a powerful movement of people in this country who want to fundamentally transform America from a land of opportunity and freedom into a land of socialism and government control. The radical left says that America is an oppressive nation, not worth preserving, that it needs to be rebuilt along the lines of other politically correct secular welfare states. But as Dr. D. James Kennedy shows in this important message, America, as envisioned by our settlers and founders, is indeed a nation worth fighting for.
Imagine that the year was, say, 1939, and you were of draftable age. Your country was at war. You might very well be asking yourself the question, is this nation worth fighting for? Is it worth my dying for? Easy question to answer? Oh, I forgot. I forgot to mention that you live in Nazi Germany. Question just became a little harder to answer, I trust. We might ask ourselves the question, is this country worth fighting for? Or, for that matter, any? The more precious anything is, the more valuable, the more a person would be willing to pay for it. Well, let's look and see what we have and how valuable it is. If we go back 500 or so years to a time when the old world was growing old and older by the year, decay and despair were everywhere to be found, but unbeknownst to any of them, God had saved, God had reserved in the midst of two great oceans, the continents of America, for the latter times as the last great hope of mankind. I have not heard that ever mentioned about any other nation but this one, the last great hope of mankind. Just look at the physical attributes of what has been given to us by God. From sea to shining sea, God has placed this magnificent land, which is most certainly of enormous value and worth fighting for. From the snow-capped mountains to the virtually limitless prairies now gold with grain, from the countless rivers and thousands of lakes which make it fertile and green, God has given to us this abundantly productive land which is virtually capable of feeding the whole world. Considering what we have been given, how much more should we be willing to return? And so, having reserved this land in the midst of the oceans, God at last prepared a people. Those valiant pioneers, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, came to establish that particular sort of land that God wanted it to be, a land where Jesus Christ was king and sovereign. As our founders said, we have this day, on July 4th, 1776, restored the sovereign, to whom be glory forever. And God gave us those hearty men and women, the Pilgrims and Puritans, who were, above all, people of faith, people who loved God with heart and mind and strength and soul, people who loved His Word and read it daily, and determined to teach it to their children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yes, it was and is a very special land. It was built upon the foundations of the Christian faith. Other than those who have been so benighted by a secular school system or are so biased that they are unwilling to look at the truth, there can be no doubt that this was founded as a Christian nation. The Pilgrims said that it was their hope that they would at least be a stepping stone to taking the gospel to all the nations of the world. Dear friend, that hope and prayer of theirs has been fulfilled. America has set out a stream of thousands upon thousands of missionaries and have reached actually every single nation on earth. And furthermore, we see more and more Christians sharing the gospel than ever before, and we find the number of people in this country that have actually come to a life-changing, saving experience with Jesus Christ is growing dramatically. We're called in the scriptures to be soldiers of Christ, to follow Christ, the captain in the well-fought fight, to serve in His army. And we're told that we're to take the Word of God, which is the sword of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to put on the whole armor of God, and we are to fight the good fight of faith. That kind of army, however, does not kill people. The only statistics that it would have would not be of those that have been killed, but of those who were dead, who are made alive, who have found the joy of knowing Christ personally, of experiencing His love in their hearts, who have seen their lives and their homes and their families transformed by His grace. What a wonderful army that is, dear friend. And all of us are called to be a part of it. And if you are not, you can enlist today. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you receive Him as the captain of your heart, that one that you're going to follow, and you are going to use the power of His Word, the gospel of Christ, to quicken the dead, to change the hearts of those who are in love with evil. And the Bible says, God says, those that hate Me love death, and they do. They love abortion. They love infanticide. They love suicide. They love Holocaust. They love destroying people because they hate God. If their hearts are changed and that stony heart is taken away and a heart of flesh that loves its God is placed in, they will love life. And they will do their best to see that others come to know that life. Ah, dear friend, God Almighty wants you, and you, and you in His army, the army of Christ, the army of life, that forever army which is changing and will change the whole world. Are you a part of that army?
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, America is a Christian nation, settled and established by Christians and built on a Christian foundation. The result has been freedom and prosperity unknown in all the rest of human history. Yet today, there is an entire political movement devoted to tearing down that foundation and replacing it with a secular, socialistic one. Their goal is to bring fundamental change to America, as former President Obama promised. Is this a nation worth fighting for? Is this a nation worth defending? Well, we believe it is, and we want you to stand with us. What we do now will echo down through future generations. America can be saved, but not if we fail to act. We have an important book we'd like to send you as our thanks for your generous donation to help us defend freedom and proclaim truth. It's called 7 Steps for a Nation in Crisis. At her founding, America knew that only God's divine shield could protect from death and desolation. Has God now lifted his shield of protection? In this small volume, Dr. D. James Kennedy and Jerry Newcomb offer meditations and prayers on the 7 steps necessary to restore America and maintain God's shield over it. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. This book takes you through an in-depth exploration of 2 Chronicles 7:14 and gives powerful biblical solutions to the challenges America currently faces. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will also include the special DVD series, A Nation Worth Fighting For, featuring 4 key messages from Dr. Kennedy on the foundations of America, including his message, A Nation Worth Fighting For, a portion of which you've just seen. Dr. Kennedy was perhaps more responsible than any other figure in the last century for rekindling an interest in America's true Christian history. And the messages on this DVD set are at the core of Dr. Kennedy's teaching on our biblical foundations. These are some of the most influential, important sermons Dr. Kennedy ever preached. We will send you the book, 7 Steps for a Nation in Crisis, by D. James Kennedy and Jerry Newcomb, plus the 4-message DVD set, A Nation Worth Fighting For, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. And as you give, you will also be helping us complete and air our key election year documentary special, Defend America 2020, which we will broadcast nationally later this month. Your donation right now will make a real difference. Your generosity proclaims the life-changing hope of the gospel. It defends freedom and liberty in America and helps us to be a bold voice for Christ in our culture. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or you can go online to djkm.org. Our founders wisely set up a system in which the legislature, having the lawmaking function, was closest to and directly accountable to the people. But one noted politician observed, there are 2 things you don't want to watch being made: sausage and legislation. Getting laws passed is hard work, requiring widespread political agreement. But here in America, the political radicals long ago tired of such arduous work, not to mention that the people were seldom in favor of their radical ideas. So, bypassing the legislative process, they instead have turned to an activist Supreme Court and an overreaching presidency to enact their leftist agenda. The founders didn't want the national government doing much of anything unless there was widespread agreement on it. Contrast that with the posture of former President Obama. Failing to gain the consent of Congress, the direct representatives of the people, for such pet projects as gun control, strict global warming regulations, and amnesty for illegal aliens, President Obama instead resorted to executive orders to accomplish his agenda. In issuing these king-like fiats, many of which were later struck down by the courts, he famously said, "We're not just going to be waiting for legislation. I've got a pen and I've got a phone." President Obama's vice president, Joe Biden, is currently running for president and has already said he will use similar executive orders to force Americans to abide by restrictive carbon standards, rejoin the destructive Paris Climate Agreement, open the military to transgenders, and abolish charter schools as an alternative to failed public schools. This sort of language should alarm any constitutionally literate American. Our founders, recognizing human sinfulness, refused to put power into one person's hands. When Americans cast off the protections afforded by the constitutional separation of powers, they become like ancient Israel, begging to be lorded over by a king. But as Christians who believe in the rule of law and recognize the corruption of sinful nature, we should be careful to vote for those who respect the Constitution and the lawmaking authority of we, the people. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
And our declaration says that next to life itself, the most important right we have is liberty.
The left is all about undermining the family so that they can institutionalize their new world agenda.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.